Hallelujah. You know, last night I was praying and I was wondering what kind of world we are going to see. Now that there seems to be a real change happening across the globe. Glory to God. And then it suddenly occurred to me that what we are watching in America is actually the end of the Western civilization. Of the West. You know what the word the West means? Now the West refers to nations that came into an agreement with America to be part of what is happening there. Part of it really was NATO. And it was all formed around the year 1948, 1949. Actually, the NATO Pact was signed in 1949, April 4th to be precise. NATO means North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Now what that means is, I've told you that before, that all those countries across Europe and even elsewhere, even in Asia, are protected militarily by America, and they are required to give 2% of their GDP to the United States for that purpose. However, of course, like I said, so many of them default, even the richer ones default on that amount of money. But now I was watching an interview by Donald Trump, which he gave to two big newspapers in Europe. And that's the Times newspaper in the UK and the Bild, which is, I believe, the Bild is in Germany, which is, I believe, the biggest selling newspaper in Europe. And he was talking about NATO and about so many things to do with him. And he said certain things which caused red alert across. Because, you know, when he was going through the campaign, he was talking about how America needs to care about itself before it cares about all the rest of the world. And so many such things. But you see, so many people thought campaign rhetoric. Now the campaign is over and he sits down in an interview and has a chance to explain to these people how he believes NATO is obsolete. Obsolete means it has outlived its usefulness. And how now Europe should take care of its own interests and America is going to take care of its own interests. And he actually went ahead to say things which, if you really wanted to be in an alliance with Europe, he might not have said. For instance, he knows that there is a big election coming up in Germany, and the Chancellor of Germany, who is really the de facto head of Europe, is probably not going to be elected. Okay, he's not going to be elected. What Trump knows is she probably may not be re-elected. But he went ahead to say that she made a catastrophic mistake, used those words, by letting in so many illegal immigrants, and people want to retain the identity of a country. So now those are things you don't say about. For instance, there cannot be an election in Uganda and Uhuru Kenyatta comes and says Museveni made a catastrophic mistake unless there's something terribly wrong with the relationship between the two of them. You understand? Eh? Those are things you'd rather not say, even if you believe them. Now, Trump said that. Then he said so many other things about what's happening in Europe. Now, that's important. I didn't know until last night. As far as I was concerned, it was just another interview and that comes and goes. But I didn't realize that it is important until last night. Now, what happened last night? That's when somehow, as I sat outside in my compound and I was praying in tongues, the Lord revealed to me that 70 years are coming to an end and the Western civilization will also say it's bye-bye. Before that, communism, 70 years, 1919 to 1989. Whew. And what happens? It disappears at a time when it looks to be invincible. Because in 1988, it seemed to be, 87, 86, seemed to be the peak of the Cold War. When everything, Reagan was, putting up all this rhetoric in America and Mikhail Gorbachev, the other side in the Soviet Union. Then, just like that, the Berlin Wall falls in November, October, November, 1989. And suddenly the communists communism vanishes, and the next thing you know, Gorbachev is a president. Russia is split into, the Soviet Union is split into all these states, Azerbaijan and all those, and Russia remains alone, and the next thing we know, Boris Yeltsin takes over Russia, and Mikhail Gorbachev, who was the president of the Soviet Union, goes to cheat in California. Now, can you imagine such a turn of events? This is a guy who is supposed to be the biggest enemy of the West. And now, suddenly, just like that, communism crumbles and what? And the guy goes and is cheating in California. That's where he stays right now. Okay? As he approaches 90, or probably is around there about. So now you think, how did this? But the funny thing was, when the Berlin Wall was falling, he was actually there standing, clapping as well. Mikhail Gorbachev. It was supposed to be like his defeat. Because he was like, the icon of communism and what. But he's there clapping along with George Bush, who is now very sick in hospital with pneumonia. 92-year-old George Bush. Clapping, who was the president of America, of course, He became president in 1989, yeah. Who was the president of America at that time? Clapping when the Berlin Wall is falling down. Then you say, what kind of man claps when the world that represented who you are? Because remember that the Iron Curtain and what? Then all those Soviet republics suddenly start becoming capitalist and all that. Anyhow, 70 years, 1990-1989. Now the Western civilization takes over. Later on, Gorbachev accused them of triumphalism, of thinking that now the West is in control, nobody can bring them down, they are in total control of everything, which actually at some stage they look to be in total control of. And from 19, and there is a way they did things, which was interesting, because all the time that the West was in control, even not entirely, even when there was their control was contested by the East meaning the communists, even then, there are ways in which they did their things which have been, they have pursued them all the way up to now, only it seems it is time up for them. I'll tell you one of them. For instance, the Americans and the West, the British and all that, believed in one single way of handling issues, regime change. If they don't agree with what you do as a regime, they overthrow the regime. It doesn't matter, Democrats, Republicans. It's just that they did it in different ways. Because what happens is the Democrats preferred. Okay, the Republicans actually preferred to go in all out. They would go and attack nations. Remember how Reagan went and tried to kill Gaddafi by bombing his palace and what? That was in the 1980s. That's how they preferred to do it. And there are so many other countries they attack like that. But the Democrats did it in a different way, the way they are doing it in Syria right now, where they sponsor people to come and fight against you and take you off. But they're actually arming them and sponsoring them, but they take you off anyway, but without ever fighting. So then they keep up the rhetoric, and they, peace, we have to fight, So now that's what they try to do in Syria with ISIS and, all that, which was created by America, by the way. And yet, actually, they stand up and criticize it the most, yet they are actually the ones who created it. You understand? But see, one of the reasons they've managed to do that is because they owned the narrative. They decided who is good and who is bad. They decided who is a dictator and who is pro-peace, who is pro-democracy, who is pro-what. And somehow, because they had total control of the media, they could do anything they want. So they actually go and create a cavalier inside the country because they are fighting for it. And it's all a battle for resources. It's almost always about resources. They go and enter a country, confuse it, and then they get the president who is there, who is probably democratically elected. Then they say he's a dictator. Then somebody comes fighting. Then they arm him and sponsor him. Then he pays people money. Then they say he's pro-freedom, pro-democracy, what? So they paint a good picture for the person whom they are puppet, and then they spoil the other person, and then eventually even the people whose resources they are stealing start believing the West. Because that's how most countries have been trained to think. That if it's on CNN, it's right. Okay? And all their Western media. So that's what they do. And now, the trouble is, it worked all throughout, but now they are 70 years are coming to an end. Now, there is a reason why 70 years. Because the Lord brought to me that actually the Babylonian Empire, 70 years. 70 years. And I've looked through a lot of these empires in them. For some reason, 70 years. Jeremiah 29:10 says, for 70 years, you'll go to Babylon. But when that empire falls, you'll come back here after the 70 years are over. Now, then I realized communism, 70 years. Now, capitalism, in the next 2 years, is also going to be done. Now, why is that important? Because, as we've spoken before, there is going to have to be a new shift of alliances, which is different from the NATO, which is different from the West, for the scripture to come to pass. Now, the scriptures, we've spoken about them, you remember, Revelation 13, talking about the alliance between Britain, between Germany, between Russia, and between China. Now, for that to happen, there has to be a shift of alliances. Number one, America has to get out of the way, because it is the one that has been controlling, especially Britain. And now, you see, Britain has already stepped out of their own thing, but now Germany seems to be, they cannot afford to be on open collision course with America. But Trump said so many things which were very careless for a leader like him, okay, to be honest. The trouble with him is he speaks what he wants to do. Now, other people do very wicked things, people like Obama, and they speak very nice things. Now, that's how the world is run, on diplomacy. Somebody does wicked things and says very beautiful things. You know, we have to fight ISIS. But he's the one who is funding them. And he's the one who is arming them. And they are armed by CIA. And they are trained by CIA. But then, they have a politician. Now, that's how the world has been run, where the people who actually control it send a puppet to go and be the one to talk to the people and tell them sweet, nice things. While, of course, they go and do the dirty work underground. You understand? And very rarely does the dirty work come out here. Now, the things which they portray as news are actually not news. They are either views or their lies. And so they will just, you know, shift people's minds and tell them all these things. And then they have politicians to do that. And the politicians know the truth, but they will never say it. They know exactly what is happening, but they will never say it. They are trained to say things. That's why when Trump comes up and says, starts speaking things as they are, and just says this and that and the other, now suddenly all the politicians, including those from his party, cannot stand the sight of him. Because that's not how the game is played. You understand? Eh? For instance, okay, I'll give you an example from football. There's a player who used to play for Manchester United called Jaap Stam. Eh? Now, he went and said, he wrote in his book, that the manager, Ferguson, told us that we should dive more and get penalties because other teams are diving to get penalties. Now, that is stupidity. You don't say those things. So, do you know what happened? Within 2 weeks, he was sold from the club and they chased him away because he broke. Of course, that's what he told. He was not telling a lie. Eh? But those are things which you are supposed to keep there, eh? not bring in the media. You don't go and say that my manager told me that he's teaching us how to dive in the box to get penalties. But of course, we knew they dive, and only he came. And now, once you break that code of conduct, nobody wants to deal with you because you brought something which was supposed to be there out here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, then Trump comes and he's actually speaking things which are true and which he intends to do, which nobody else does. Okay, I'll give you an example. This is what he said in a speech which very few people ever heard because it has been obscured away from people and the media decide what you hear and what you don't hear. This is what he said. We will pursue a new foreign policy that finally learns from the mistakes of the past. We will stop looking to topple regimes and overthrow governments. Our goal is stability, not chaos. Now, the goal of the US government throughout has been chaos because the only beneficiary from the chaos is them. So they create chaos. Who created the chaos in Syria? Them. Now you see, somebody was telling me, I was telling him, why do you think these Arabs go and blow up Americans? Why don't they blow up South Americans or Brazilians or what? Because they are clever. They know that these guys are the ones who came and messed up our country. Do you understand? Now if you are from Afghanistan, a very beautiful country, these guys come, and because they want your resources, they will mess up your country. Now, imagine you are a professional in your country, your children were growing up there, like let's say like it is here. Then some guys come and mess it up, then the next thing you know, you're a refugee in Botswana, being put in a refugee camp, and you are living a good life in Uganda. Now, so it gets to a point where it is so easy to indoctrinate them, to kill Americans, because they know, they don't just go killing everybody. You understand? They are not going to go and blow up a Ugandan embassy. They have no business against you. Or even against, let's say, even Russia or what. No, they know where their problems come. They know who has wanted their oil and messed up their countries for the purposes of. They know those things. So when they go to blow up, they know whom to blow up. Now, Trump is saying, no, we are no longer going to cause chaos. Now, and the difference between him and other people is he's saying what he intends to do. Other people say these things, but do other things. Eh? Now, he says, we are no longer going to look to overthrow governments. These are his very words. Our goal is stability, not chaos. In our dealings with other countries, we will seek shared interests wherever possible and pursue a new era of peace, of understanding and of goodwill. Now, why is that different? Of course, because that's not how it has been. And also because he means it, unlike other people. Now, I can tell you in the 70 years of Western civilization, they have toppled or attempted to topple 57 governments. That means one government a year, almost. Okay? According to an author, a man called William Bloom, who wrote a book about it. Now, as I told you, the Republicans, they go direct. They enter into a country like they did with, you know, remember Nicaragua, General Noriega? They actually go into a country and get the president and arrest him and take him to an American jail. Can you imagine that? A sovereign country, you go and arrest its president and take him to a jail in your country. I mean, I'm thinking, now recently they extradited this Mexican drug lord, El Chapo, you know that guy, Guzman. But I'm thinking, what right have they got? Mexico is a country in itself with its own judicial process. But anyway, that's how it has been, but not for much longer. Okay. Afghanistan, Iraq, these are places Bush goes to Iraq. Republicans, they just go there with the American army, topple. His father did it, who is now in suffering from pneumonia. And George Bush did it, who is now in Washington at the swearing in of Donald Trump. They tried it in Libya. It failed. But then they tried it again. Now the Democrats tried it again in their style. Their style is proxy wars. Eh? Now the Democrats, Syria, they messed up Syria. These are just a few. Libya, they have been doing it for so many. They have been doing it for all of the 7 years. Now, if I tell you what they did in Africa, they are the ones who, like, first of all, because that was a time when most African leaders were tending towards communism, which of course is a fake, you know, way of doing things. And it's totally not of God. But most, you know, so most ideologues and iconic African leaders like Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, and all the others were overthrown or killed, Thomas Sankara, because they went by the West, by these people, the same people. So if you, I'll give you an example of Thomas Sankara, who was president of Burkina Faso between 1980, about 3 to 87. He actually, 88, I think. He actually even came here when Museveni had just... you've heard of him, Thomas Sankara. A very, you know, a young man. First of all, he was in his early 30s, around 33, I think. Probably even younger. Full of swag. He was a music composer. He actually is the one who composed their national anthem. And he... Okay, he was a different kind of guy because he's the kind of guy who would put on his tracksuit and go jogging in the streets of the capital. And, you know, so he'd ride a bicycle to work and things like that. So he was extremely popular, but very communist. He took, first of all, he changed the name of the country from Upper Volta to Burkina Faso, then took them out of IMF and what? He said, we don't want your loans. Let's work on our way of development. So he got into agriculture, told people how to get start producing food. He's the one who introduced in Africa women emancipation. And actually, he's one of the people who said the word, which I think quoted from elsewhere, saying women hold the other half of the sky. So the first thing he did is he told schools, do not expel girls who get pregnant, because we want them to go and give birth and come and continue the education. Because one of the reasons girls were uneducated was because of early pregnancies. So he stopped that. So he did so many... Now, he did that in 5 years and caused almost totally complete revolution. He cut out the West completely. He didn't want to know anything about them. Now, of course, they killed him. His deputy, a man called Blaise Compaoré, killed him, took over, got them back on IMF, got them out of World Bank, started taking loans, started doing the typical thing, African thing. And of course, that was the end of the Sankara Revolution. And now that's just one person. I don't know how far that revolution could have gone, but I also know that communism is demonic. Eh? It does not take you anywhere. But okay, we have the West has never given Africa a chance to try it out. But I know it's not of God, but they somehow make sure. So people like Patrice Lumumba. So that's how they have done all their thing, including Obote. Who do you think overthrew Obote and put him in? The West. You remember the famous story of Obote in Singapore at the Commonwealth meeting, when he stood up to talk and blast the British, and the British Prime Minister stood up and said, "Some of you are here talking flamboyantly. You're not going to return home as the president of your country." And while the Commonwealth, whatever, was still going on, Amini overthrew him in Kampala, and Obote stopped in Nairobi and never came back to Kampala. So, because he knew, and so on and so forth. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you all of this, because I'm telling you that there's a shift in the world, and fresh alliances are being formed, which alliances are going to foment the coming of the Antichrist and the coming of the Christ. Amen? So, all those... So, anyhow, now Obama comes, and here is the thing. There is a speech which was given by Hillary Clinton in 2011. Now, of course, these are things which I just said, and you have to have a certain eye to even pick up what is being said, because they use certain language which you have to know what they said and what they mean. So she said, and I quote, "The future of politics will be decided in Asia and not in Afghanistan or Iraq. And the United States will be at the right at the center of the action. One of the most important tasks of American statecraft, in other words, their henchmen, over the next decades will therefore be to lock in a substantially increased investment, diplomatic, economic, strategic, and otherwise, especially military, in Asia Pacific region." Now, here is the thing. Throughout most of the years of the Western Revolution, the two places that mattered the most was Africa and the Middle East. Middle East because of oil. Now, I told you here last Tuesday that America has discovered its own oil wells, which are bigger actually than the reserves in Saudi Arabia. So suddenly, oil is no longer the biggest item that they are looking for. So there are other things on their mind. And then they discover, not that they discover, but they know, and they want to control the facts, certain facts, and I will continue with Hillary's speech. "Harnessing Asia's growth is central to American economic and strategic interests. The region already generates more than half of global trade and global output. About 75% of the world's population lives in Eurasia. Most of the world's physical wealth is there too. 60% of the world's GNP and about 3/4 of the world's known energy resources are also in that place. Therefore, America has to control it." Now, who are the threats to America controlling it? China and Russia, but especially Russia. Now, Russia, they study it. The Russia that they knew in 1990, which was a finished case, which they were entered in and did, they don't know that from 2000, Putin is busy building an army and doing all those things. Then when they realize that, they understand, okay, they know, but they don't know the extent of which. Because, you know, Putin is also a very sly man. And stealth, he has his ways of doing things. There's a reason why I suspect he might be actually the Antichrist. So from 2000, Putin is busy doing his things underground. But he knows what they are planning, and he knows he's going to stand in the place of them. So they decide that Russian economy depends only on oil and natural gas, mostly 65% of it exports, oil and natural gas, 65%. That means, take that away, they are in serious trouble. They don't even have money to finance their army, their military. So, but Europe, Germany, England, depend on Russian natural gas. Gas which is used for cooking, heating, and all those things. They are heating in their houses in winter and all. So which is the best way to And Europe, of course, America needs Europe as part of the West. But the only way Europe can get away from Asia, the way America, I mean from Russia, the way America wants them to do, is by getting an alternative source of gas. So then they get the tiny island of, what's it called, Brunei, I think, which is the richest in natural gas. So they tell Europe, we are going to get you new natural gas so that you cut off Russia. You cut off Russia, they become broke, then we don't have to worry about them and our desire to take over the West, I mean the East, the Asian market, South Korea and all that. So, now that has one small problem. The gas coming from that place to the Mediterranean Sea and into Europe has to go through Syria. There is no other way apart from going through Syria. So they have to build a pipeline. Geographically, the only way they can build that pipeline to go to Europe is through Syria. Now, when Syria, because the president, Bashar al-Assad, is friendly to Putin, says no, because he knows what they are trying to do. He knows they are trying to undercut Russia. So he says, no, you not pass that pipeline here. So guess what happens? Regime change. So people come up and sponsor. Actually, the guy who did it is George Soros. George Soros is one of the billionaires. For him, his work is those people who you go and throughout the elections, he was one of Donald Trump's biggest critics, and for a reason, because he knows he's the one whom they give a lot of money to go and destabilize countries. And money can let me tell you, you get $1 billion and throw it in any country, you mess them up. You mess them up, you know, and the Americans have that sort of money to go and mess up a country because they are looking at much more. Eh? So they say, what our strategic interests in Asia are bigger than this. So they gave him $5 billion, go and mess up these guys. So the next thing you know, their rebel army is there, they are here, ISIS, SWAT, all those things. And so, then the usual stories, Assad is using chemical weapons, of course all that are Western lies, using chemical weapons, blowing up his people. They are capable, by the way, of using those weapons themselves, and they blame it on Assad. Assad is not going to come out and say anything. Even if he says it, no media house is going to run it. Even if they run it, they will deny it, and everybody will believe what the West is saying, because that's how they have been programmed. So these people come up and all these things. So they say Assad regime, whatever, he's killing his own people, all that. We have to take him off. Now, when it turns, gets to a point where now Assad probably has to go, because he's only protecting a third of the city of Damascus, where he is. The rest of the country is out of control. Now they think they have finished him. Take Assad out, put a puppet president, build the pipeline, then Russia is done with. The only problem is now Russia believes it has military muscle to rival the U.S. So 2015, Putin goes to America for the U.N. General Assembly, goes and has a meeting with Obama, and tells him, now, removing Assad, you're going to have to fight with Russia. So if you want third world war, here we come. Now suddenly all the Western interests have been put in a cooler, because nobody really wants to go to war with Russia. And they know Russia can fight. And they really don't want to go to war with Russia. First of all, Europe cannot afford to go to war with Russia because of those reasons that I told you before. So suddenly everything. So now Russia actually moves and starts putting military bases in Syria and starts doing things, putting its ground, then starts bombing ISIS, actually doing the real beating of ISIS, where the Americans were talking about beating ISIS. When Russia came, within 6 months, ISIS was almost finished, okay? Until the Americans also went and armed them again. So somehow it has to continue. Anyhow, but it's proxy war. But in all of this, Obama has to isolate Putin. And he's doing this. He had to, by the way. It's not that he had a choice. You understand? Because there are people who run the government. It is not him. He's just being used. They are the people who are... You see, now here is the thing. They will give you your show. You understand? You are like a movie star. But you get little money. The owner of 20th Century Fox is the billionaire, not the movie star. But for you don't know the owner, and he doesn't mind you not knowing him. You understand? But you know George Clooney and all those guys. So there are people, for instance, you understand what I'm saying? So the owner of the football club is not known. It's the footballer who is known. And the owner prefers it that way for him. He sits back and pulls the strings from the side. So the people who actually run the world are not like, they will create cartoon characters for you, like Obama and what, for you to follow. But they actually know what they are doing, and they are in total control. So they will tell him, now the only way we can do this is you have to do this. So he has to come and give the speech. And he has to say those things. And by the way, they use things like that. Now, why do you think all the... Have you ever seen anything like this? Where after an election, everybody in the country is trying to delegitimize the president. From the intelligence to what and all those things. And their thing is Russia. And then Obama goes and chases away Russian diplomats. You're given 48 hours to leave Washington. Why? Because he wants Russia to retaliate, which is what they should do under normal circumstances. Russia refuses because they know Obama is on his way out. And they know what he's trying to do. So now the issue is Russia, Russia, Russia. Russia interfered in the elections. Russia, Russia, Russia. Because they cannot afford what Trump is saying, that they are going to, there is going to be a good relationship with Russia. If there is a relationship between America and Russia, then these people's plans, which they have been planning for 30 years, have come to naught. You understand? Eh? By the way, don't be shocked if they actually kill him. Because I'm telling you, the amount of damage that he's doing to plans which have been put there. What they do is, they pull the strings, they decide who is going to be president, not necessarily, but they decide among a few people who is going to be president. So you can choose whomever you want. I told you that before. Eh? It's like, it reminds me of secondary school years, where they tell you you are going to elect your head prefect. In the Miriango. But they tell you, but you can elect between these guys. So now, all those guys have one thing in common. They have all gone through the Brookings Institute, which is where they teach you everything that the New World Order wants. All of them are on the, or owned or controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations, which determines the foreign policy. All of them are being cooked for that position, you understand? And you don't become president like Obama unless you've been prepared for more than 20 years, where they prepare you and they make sure they totally, completely indoctrinate you so that when you get there, you are doing what you're supposed to do. Okay? But behind the scenes, there's Henry Kissinger, there's, what's the other guy called? Rockefeller, you know, and all those guys. They are the people who actually have power. So now Trump comes and says, I'm not going through any of those. By the way, I was listening to some guy whom, okay, he's a bit controversial and what. And he said they told Trump, like 2 weeks before the elections, we'll only allow you to be president if you accept to work with us. He said, I will take the risk. I will not work with you. Let's see what. And he actually did take the risk. Now, he is coming against, for instance, what he said about NATO. That is so damaging to what America and the West has been planning. But it is of God, because the 7 years are coming to an end. Okay? Now, when America moves out and NATO is on its own, as they have now decided to be, remember I told you here they are building an army, which is going to be finished by around October this year, complete, ready to fight and defend themselves, NATO. 28 members. When America, whole of NATO has 28 members, but the Europeans, when they are through with that army and they step aside, then the alliance that we spoke about between China and Russia, now that here is the big threat for America, and here is where the whole change is going to come. If there's an alliance between China and Russia, and especially if it involves India, that is the end of the West. Because what do they have? What do they have? More or less nothing. Now China is going to space, is what, is into all those things. Russia handles, there's a lot militarily. Russia is the world number one nuclear power in the world, overtook America when Obama was busy giving good speeches. So they are the ones who are going to protect that alliance. India also went into the nuclear thing. China has, because here is a big thing. What now, Germany, do you know, Donald Trump said, you sell all your cars to us, what? We should also start selling cars to you. Now, do you know what the Germans said? Of course, that's very unfair. Because in truth, first of all, the Americans don't make good cars. and secondly, when the Germans sell their cars to America, there is an exchange. But Donald Trump doesn't see it that way. So the Germans actually told them, then you start making good cars which are worthy of, you know, of Germans buying, which is not a good response. Because America is 350 million people, and perhaps the only place where you'll find somebody changing a car because there is a newer model. So somehow they are the perfect market until China comes into play. So now if Germany cannot access this with their, you know, and most of the European countries, where do they go? China. So now they need Russia for the gas. They go to China for the 1.3 or 1.4, actually 1.6, I believe, billion. About 500 million of whom are now what you'd call middle class, okay? Spenders. That's a bigger market than America. And it's growing bigger, you understand? And China is now in control almost of all, is actually controlling African resources. So now it might become in Britain's best strategic interest to actually turn away from America and turn to China. And that is true for Germany. And Russia is doing that. Now, the only way the West can sustain itself is, number one, getting rid, somehow getting into a war where they weaken Russia, if that were possible. Now, you've seen what Obama did, putting troops around Russia, trying to do what. Now, these are, but at the end of it, Donald Trump is going to come and do the work from within himself, because for him, he's saying, for us, we want what's good for America. Now, the problem with that is politics has run all along on telling people that they don't know what is good for them. In other words, you deceive them, okay? And the people who are actually running the country are different. Now, suddenly you have somebody who has been picked from the other pool and is now being brought into power and is speaking things as they are. You understand? So the things which were said in secret are actually now being said out. Like the other guy who said the coach told them to dive and get penalties. Now, of course, every coach says that. But in secret, and there is no evidence of them saying it. But now when somebody brings it out of there into the public, then that's a cause of serious problem. So here is what's going to happen. The alliance of the West, which people thought was going to cause the Antichrist to come, is going to disintegrate and reintegrate. Okay? Now, here is what the Lord told me actually yesterday. He said that there's going to be a whole, what you'd call a seismic shift. Those are my words, not his. A whole shift of, you know, the way you knew things. There is a shaking. Almost everybody winds up alone. Because now you see France is also going to end up with a far-right government. England already into their Brexit mix. Angela Merkel is not coming back. Far right is also going to come. So suddenly there is a whole revolution. Now what happened in November was Europe was supposed to take over America. Now it looks like an independent America is taking over Europe. But it was very strategic for the gospel to be preached. Because the Western civilization, perhaps their biggest fall is they actually wanted to take control of social issues. Now that's where God comes in, because he has to come in. Because they want to spread their ideologies of homosexuality. The Chinese are not going to come and tell you that there is no aid if you don't promote homosexuality. They are not interested in that. They are not interested in social issues. They want your minerals and they take your minerals. You understand? Now, the West wants to control how you believe. Come and promote all these things, atheism and, you know, homosexuality and all that. They want to turn everything around, and it was not going to suit God's purpose. Then their 70 years are coming to an end in 2 years from now, actually 1 year, 2018. And then also, we'll tell them, Mutulabieko. Now, that, by the way, what I'm telling you is serious prophetic stuff, which I got from the Lord. Because nobody can stand up today and tell you that the West is going to end. Like, there is nobody, you understand? This is more than just end time preaching. This is, because next year, as one of those, now that is what is going to bring in the big revival. Amen? The big what? Yeah, which is coming from where? Africa. Because as it is, that whole Western thing, by the way, I got to know this, the church is going to become strong, even in countries like UK where they had been completely, you know, even in countries like Germany, they are going to become strong, okay? People are going to go back to churches, believers and all those things. People are actually going to start, this whole feeling proud about their nation is actually also going to send them back into Christianity, which where they had run away from. And it will be an opportunity for for so many of them to be evangelized. Praise the Lord. And actually, so many of them will come from there and come here to learn certain aspects of walking in the supernatural. Now, for some reason, they seem to be faster than us at learning. Do you know why? Because for them, when they see something good, they forget about everything else. And they pursue that. Now, when they come here, when you're still trying to, you know, trying to reason, you understand? Eh? When they see something, and they come and see something supernatural, which they had never seen before, things which perhaps some of us are even becoming used to seeing, you understand? Eh? They will go and commit themselves to it and learn it. Within 6 months, you find the guy is prophesying more than you who has been exposed to the prophetic for 10 years. Because as soon as he learned, you mean this is there? He has been taught all his time that no. You know, these things don't exist. Science says what? And somehow he believed that. Until he sees something different, he says, wow, this is this. Okay, that's it. Within a short time, the only thing that matters to him is that, then he gets it. Then somehow Europe is evangelized, including China, by the way, and Russia evangelized. Now, the funny thing is actually so many people who are going to do it. Now, if I say it, you will not believe me. But I sit here, eh? Eh? But they don't know, eh? Until they get their first instruction. Eh? Amen? And then they see where it is going. Where it is going. Big things that the Lord has planned for us. Praise the Lord. And now the thing is, we are not going to miss out. Because it is going to happen by His grace. The only thing you have to be is willing. If you jump, that's different. Eh? But if you're willing, the wind will be too strong. Eh? That even your doubts, your weaknesses, your what, will just be swept away. Because something has to be done. The end time harvest has to be picked in. Glory to God. Amen. Now, so actually South America and Africa are going to be where most of the end time powerful ministers are going to come from, but especially Africa. Praise the Lord. Now, but I want you to understand that the purpose of all this is to let you know that there was a time when the church had just started, when all pastors said, you know, you have to go to America, going to America. You remember, eh? Now that time ended, eh? Nobody really wants to go to America because there is nothing there, eh? Amen? Now, that time is coming back. People are going to start going back to America to preach the gospel there. But it will be different. The people who went there before, in the 90s, were going to beg. Now, the people who are going there now are going to be received as superstars. Now, I want you to believe that tables have turned. Now, and that's also going to be a bit fairly true also, a bit of South America, but mostly Africa. Now, the people who used to go there and beg, I remember, now I was in the church at that time, most of you were not, probably even were not even born, eh? Yeah, but, you know, we had things where somebody says that, that your pastor has come for America, Avuda America, that you come when he's still fresh. With what? That Nama Futaga America. You'd think America is like where the presence of the Lord. But of course, now that was the level of understanding, But now it's different. People are going to come here, and by the time you step there, they are rolling out a red carpet. Because you have... Now, I saw evidence of it by certain preachers whose names I'm not going to mention, who come from this country and they step abroad, and it's a national function. The president and ministers are there. And the guy is a preacher. And he prophesies about their country. And they listen. There's a guy who told me went to Ukraine, you know, a prophet from Africa, Southern Africa. He told them that Ukraine is going to be in war with Russia. And it's going to take all those things. Now he said that when Ukraine and Russia, the relationships were so cordial. Now, when it happened, and they got into war with Russia, and then the next thing, Russian what? The next time he stepped there, the president. Now that's what is going to happen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you what I got to know last night when I was, you know, why it is important to God, apart from the alliance of Revelation 13 coming to pass, it's also important because it is going to usher in an era where you get to, you're not going to Europe to, things have changed, Amen? Things have what? Yeah. There's something different happening in this continent. Now, this is the world that we are living in. These are the end times. Now, I can tell you that there are not too many places where you're going to get. somebody tell you that the Western civilization is coming to an end. Now, that one, I had it firsthand. Firsthand. From a certain source. And then I suddenly started seeing why it is happening. I started seeing why it's happening and how it is going to actually unfold, and how this year is going to be very crucial in some of these things. But the actual Western civilization and the end of it. Trump said that NATO is obsolete. Now that completely confused everybody. Because let me read for you some things which were said by people who are very scared by that, because you might not understand what this means to these guys. And I don't know if I'm communicating it properly, but anyhow. Former U.S. ambassador to NATO, a man called Ivo Derrida, said that Trump, and you're saying this with a lot of bitterness, is more critical of NATO, of EU, and of Germany, all of whom are close allies, than he is of Putin and Russia. Then he said, and I totally believe him, only he doesn't know what he's saying, the extent of it. He doesn't know the extent of it. He said, we are entering an upside-down world. Now, that is exactly what is happening. We are entering an upside down world. Now, first of all, let me tell you, you are going to see resistance to the Trump presidency that you've never seen before. They are going to collect people, gather people to. So the people of America actually have to pray for him if that revolution is going to stand. And it is the Lord's will that it stands. You understand? They have to pray for him that he's established. The prayers don't end when he was elected, unlike before. Because the forces that are against him have plotted for this moment for over 30 years. Plotting for how they are going to take over Eurasia. We will go to the Middle East. When we are through with their oil and we no longer need their oil, we dump them and let them sort themselves out. Then we go to Asia. Now Asia, we will need them. These people don't just... The people who started planning it died. So for them, they planned things decades in advance. And the person who is planning it is 70 years and he knows he's not going to be alive, but that's okay. Now, for us, for some reason, we want to plan within our lifetime. But people can plan for an extermination of a race. And the guy plans for a race to be exterminated in 300 years. And of course, he knows he's not going to be there. He'll be in hell getting his reward. But he plans it. And with a lot of vigor, as if he's going to be a beneficiary. But actually, the beneficiaries, if there are any, would be his, you know, he believes, would be his children. Now, these things have been long in planning. Then this guy comes and messes up everything. He has just turned everything upside down. So, a deal. Germany, everybody, come, sit down, let's have a deal. American interests first. Bringing back jobs, cross-border trade, which all his appointees in the cabinet are saying they are not going to do, but which they are going to do. Cross-border trade. Then also, there's the issue of Christianity, which is also very... Now, his campaign promises, and the guy is serious, only towards the end of this year, he might become untenable and be like John F. Kennedy. Praise the Lord. The only person, by the way, who can protect him is the only one who put him in power, and that is God. Because if the intelligence themselves are fighting you, then who is on your side? And you're the president of their country. You understand what I'm saying, eh? So who is on your side? Everybody. Intelligence, what? I have never seen anything like it, and I'm not sure I will see anything like it. But the thing is, there is a woman who gave a prophecy of Trump being president in 2011. And she said the Lord told her he's going to be president. I read this, and this was before he became president. Actually, this was before he even became Republican candidate. He had just entered the race, but he was running against almost 50, I don't know, 11 or so Republicans. She said that God told him Donald Trump is going to be president, and she said that, number one, God told her that he is very bold, and he's as bold as Christians should be, but are not. She said God wishes Christians would be as bold as him, but they are not. They are timid. So because of that, he will get somebody who is bold to do the things which he wants to do. Eh? Then she also said that he should have become president in 2012, and become Obama becomes a one-term president. But she said God told her the church is not yet ready. So let them first go through another 4 years of Obama until they are ready. Then she also said that they will throw every dart at him. Now, when I saw this happening last year, I was like, man, she said they will throw every dart at him, and it will be like water hitting a duck. You know? It falls off and rolls off and rolls off, and they will not be able to bring him down. Now, okay, that is prophetic, isn't it? Eh? Because that's exactly what happened, and it has been up there, uploaded since 2011. So it's not something. It has been there, and of course people dismiss, and then until Trump, then Republican nominee, then it starts coming out, then the next thing you know, and you're saying, my, this is so right. Because they bring out all these things, women did what, over what, you know, all these things and what. And somehow, the guy comes out and says, yeah, I said those things, eh? And you think the polls are going to come when he's fallen. Why? He's the same. Then you say, eh? Now, any other candidate would be destroyed by a tenth of what they threw at Trump. They threw their best at him. Eh? But the guy would come out and say, yeah, I said those things. I'm not proud of them. Yeah, but yeah, it was locker room talk. Yeah, man, I've never seen anything of the like now. But the boldness, praise the Lord, eh, is what you and I should have. Amen? I don't want God to ever have to go and look for an unbeliever for boldness when I'm here. Can you imagine? Eh? That's not fair, is it? No, it's not fair. Because I'm supposed to be bold. Eh? Okay, I want to believe I am, but anyhow, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I've finished. Go and finish watching the inauguration of Donald Trump. But by the way, by this time next year, if that guy is not dead, he will have turned FCC upside down, like completely upside down like this. And he's a real raucous, like he's like a sheep. He just goes for guys. Like he fights every battle, including with Hollywood stars. Sometimes I look and say, man, this guy, he will abuse everybody. And he's already the president-elect. But anyway, glory to God. Okay, so by the way, and Syria, the Kavuyo, they are going to be one of the beneficiaries because the Kavuyo which these people had created is going to be undone, which these GOP people had created. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody who has very terrible indigestion, which is, okay, and bad constipation and passing very bad air. So for that reason, we are not going to ask you to stand up. But, okay, I want to pray for that person. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all people who have digestive whatever issues, that's what I feel right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak healing in the bodies of those people. I rebuke that sickness which actually now I'm seeing is even more serious than that. But okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I speak healing in the body of that person or persons in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. periods, eh? Painful periods and irregular periods, eh? And actually no periods. Okay, period issues, eh? Period, you understand, eh? Now, if that is you, I want you to receive the healing here now, eh? Because this is revealed, so I want you to receive it and go and be and completely experience regular and not painful, you know, eh? In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because that healing power touches each and everybody who is in that state, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, now I'm getting something also which is interesting, eh? But okay. I don't know, this smelly feet, eh? Very smelly feet. This is not the usual smelly feet of not washing socks. Eh? This is extraordinary. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Okay, none of the sicknesses. Can we ask people to stand up? Eh? So, unless somebody who has smelly feet wants to stand up. Okay, you don't have to. But you know it's very bad wear. Okay, I thank you, Father, because it is sorted. And actually, it's a lady, eh? And it's a cause of concern, eh? Serious concern. I thank you, Father, because there is healing for that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hosanna. The lady who has hair which peels just gets off for no reason. Okay, no apparent reason, eh? So you try to, like, you know, tie it and it just peels off for no apparent reason and just keeps on falling off, eh? And it's a cause, serious cause of concern to her. So now, okay, I'm going to, Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever condition that causes that is healed from the root in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Now, if you're called, if you believe you're called in the fivefold ministry, I want you to stand up. Like either you're a pastor, evangelist, teacher, what? Not, you don't have to be already, but you believe that's your calling. Okay? I want you to stand up. You know, fivefold ministry. Prophet, teacher, what? Those things, eh? Boy, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because each and every person here understands their call in this end time. I thank you, Father, because you are sending people to nations. I thank you in the name of Jesus because you're sending people to nations and you touch nations through these people here in the name of Jesus. Now there is this gentleman here, eh? You first come. What's your name? You're called Andrew. Okay, well, I'm seeing a very powerful ministry. I'm not getting exactly what I'm seeing, but no, stand up. I'm not getting exactly, but I'm seeing a powerful ministry, and not here, not in this country. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm failing to get the details, but I've been looking at you for 3 minutes and knowing this, but I'm actually failing to get the complete details. But anyhow, in the name of Jesus, I'll pray for you nonetheless. I thank you for it. Stand up. For it is birthed and is accelerated and is steps into it. I thank you now. Now I'm seeing a connection. Amen. Like towards the end of this year, in October. I know you. You're saying me, you know, because I know you have your weaknesses, what, you know, tobacco and all that. But it's okay. Amen. You're going to be used. Praise the Lord. Am I right anyway? Yeah, but you're going to be used. Glory to God. You're going to be used for the glory of God. And your weakness will not stand in the way of what God wants to do with you, because you have a willing heart. Now, I thank you, Father, because end of this year, October, precisely, there is a connection that kickstarts it. Amen? Now, but right now, a desire that comes upon you that kind of overrides all these things, and you find yourself getting intense and deeper, and even your prayer life changing, and so many such things. But you're being prepared, and you thought you came here but you're being prepared, and it is going to break forth in that month. How would it start? It will start with an invitation, okay, to go to do something outside, and then there will you find your connections that will take you to the next stage of that ministry. Amen. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, because we are all stars in your movie. Amen? Say amen to that.
Amen.
And this movie, the stage is the world. Amen? Not just here, the world. The whole world is your stage. So it can be anywhere. It is the director of the movie, who is the Holy Spirit, to decide where He is deploying you. Praise the Lord. You will go where you're deployed. And you will not do ordinary things. You will do extraordinary things. You will teach people about the supernatural power of God. You will break unbelief and religion. I want to receive that. Religion and unbelief shall not stand before you. In the name of Jesus, you will break forth and show people the true God. You will show people the supernatural power of God in lands that you have not known, even in lands that you are yet to dream about, but that shall be opened to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.